Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And we'll read this passage responsively, so if you'd join me on the even-numbered verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for our church. We thank you that you've given us a place like this to help us to understand and to obey you better. Now, Lord, we ask that as our preacher comes and preaches this book, that you would speak to our hearts and make us more like you. Lord, we live in a sinful world and we need you so badly. We need you to meet with us today. We need you to do something. Teach us, make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've entitled the sermon this morning, Comfort, Comfort, and More Comfort. I'll read to you again, if you have your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll see the passage of Scripture that I will use to launch us into the sermon. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith ourselves are comforted of God. Notice in two verses, God uses the word or some form of the word comfort five times. This is penned, of course, it is written by God himself. God allows a man by the name of Paul to do the writing or penning of his word here. And I'll say this in a little while, but here Paul is talking about comfort. Paul was a man that had a lot of trials and tribulations in this world. Now Paul is encouraging people, talking about the great comfort of God. We see here God mentions the God of all comfort. Then it says, who comfort us in all our tribulation. Then he said that we may be able to comfort, and by the comfort, and we ourselves are comforted. Five times we see some form of that word. The word comfort here is virtually, it is the identical word. Later on we'll see a scripture, but it's identical word for the term Holy Spirit. It's the word paraclete. It means one that comes alongside us. I think I'll show you what it means. I'm gonna ask someone to help me. They don't know that I'm going to do this. Brother Tinsman, Smokey, could you come up here for a second? I'm going to ask you to help me. This is one of the finest gentlemen you'll ever meet in your life. Brother Tinsman was here when I came here, and his dear wife passed and went to heaven. He's still a very faithful, loyal member of our church. Brother Tinsman, if you come up here, I want to show you all something. Brother Tinsman, if you'll come over here beside me here at the pulpit and just stand with me for a second. We call him Smokey. That's because he smokes a pipe. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. We call him Smokey. His name is Brother Tinsman. Let me say, When the Bible talks about the word comfort, it is the word that's used for the Holy Spirit. It is a word that means you come alongside of. See, this is something the Holy Spirit does for us. He comes alongside us. It actually means you draw someone in and you pull someone in and they gather a little strength because you pulled them towards you. And I think of this man, Brother Tinsman, how old are you?
87.
He's 87 years young. Here's a guy that is faithful to God. Here's a man that loves the Lord. Here's a man that though he lost his wife, he kept on going for God. And I'll show you exactly what the Bible means when it talks about comforting. It means this. Brother Tinsman, as your pastor, I want you to know that I love you. I know you do, and I'm proud of you. And if I could, I would like to comfort you. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. That's what it means to comfort. Now, I'm not recommending that every man in here go find a beautiful woman in the church and comfort her. Pick an ugly old dude like I did. But I love this man. What I'm doing right now, it's comforting. Brother Tinsman, I want you to know that this church hasn't forgotten about you. I want you to know that we love you and you're special to us. I want you to know you're important to us. And you're a good man. And I'm thankful that I've got you in my congregation. Now I'm going to let you go back and sit down and go to sleep. You got it there? What a good man. What a good man. And now let me explain. The Bible says that God is the God of all comfort. If you would let God, He has techniques wherewith He will pull you up close, pull you to Him. And you will gain strength from Him. And He will comfort you. You see, this godless world feels they have nowhere to turn. You know, that's why suicide rates up. Why? They wonder, where do we turn? Thank God, you and I as Christians, we have some place to turn. We have someone that reaches out to us, pulls us in, and helps us to gain strength from them. Now the world, they're saying, where do we get comfort? So they call their liquor Southern Comfort. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the kind of comfort that God was talking about, but the world does turn to it. The world hides from its problems. The world tries to drown its discomfort in liquor. It tries to drown its discomfort in drugs. The use of drugs today, and I'm not just talking about drugs that are purchased on the street. I'm talking about drugs that people that even are prescribed and they continuously misuse in an effort to hide themselves from the discomforts of life. Even today in America, there's a thing called situation ethics. That's where there's no firm right or wrong. And we develop situation ethics so that the human race does not have to feel bad about doing wrong. They're trying to comfort themselves, believing humanistically they can determine right and wrong. I've got news for you. You and I are not to determine right and wrong. Right and wrong was determined by the Bible. You say, but wonder if I do wrong, then you have a God that will help to comfort you if you do wrong, or maybe discomfort you if you do wrong, but we have comfort in God. The devil offers us false comfort. The devil offers us false pieces. Now, you and I, we as Christians, we don't have to face it. We're going to face some problems in life. But God has promised us, I will be there, God said, like I did with Brother Tinsman. God is there. He has techniques that He'll use to pull you up close and to help you, to give you strength. But remember now, God told us we would face discomfort. We're going to face some tribulation or some hard times. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Now here the Bible says, if you're going to live godly, you shall suffer persecution. That's not talking about just the hardships of life. That is talking about hardship that is brought on because you are living right. You see, you say, well, I had a flat tire. Well, everybody has flat tires from time to time. This is not talking about just having a flat tire on your vehicle. This is talking about how that you are suffering persecution because you are serving God. Someone or the devil is persecuting you because you are living godly in Christ Jesus. You're going to face that if you're going to live godly. The Bible says in Philippians 1:29, it says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Those of us that are going to live properly, live righteously, live separate from the world, there's going to be some suffering that will go on. You're going to find this out. Historically, you'll find out those who suffered much often brought much glory to God. Those who suffered greatly somehow were used of God greatly. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You just take a look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly as a born-again Christian. But wait a minute, the Apostle Paul was also used greatly as a Christian. So Paul, he's the one that wrote the introductory text that we use there from 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, you understand, the Apostle Paul got saved and he suffered a shipwreck. And I'm talking about where he was out in the sea, and I'm talking about his ship falling apart, and they had to float to shore. There was waves and storms, and the wild fish of the sea. I don't know, the sharks, and I don't like sharks. I don't like sharks at all. My wife to this day still teases me. There's a song. It's about baby sharks. My wife sings that and teases me about it. I would not have wanted to go through what the Apostle Paul went through. He was shipwrecked. I don't know what all that he went through, but I'll tell you this. Here's a man that was used greatly, but he suffered greatly. He was shipwrecked. He was put in jail time and time again. He wasn't put in jail because he stole something as a shoplifter. He was put into shock because he was opposing wrong and preaching and teaching right. He was persecuted. We're talking about Paul. He was bitten by a snake, a poisonous snake. He was ill. I believe the Apostle Paul may have had, he may have had some different diseases. I know he did not see well, so he had glaucoma maybe. He had a problem with his eyes. But not only that, he probably had some type of seizures that Paul dealt with. But wait a minute, here's a man that suffered shipwreck. Here's a man that had been put into jail for the cause of Christ. Here's a man that had been bitten by a poisonous snake. Here's a man that faced illnesses. Here's a man that had been beaten for the cause of Christ. Here's a man that had suffered betrayal and persecution, and they had hurt him, but God used him to probably pen 13 books of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, other than Jesus Christ, was the greatest Christian in the New Testament. And God said, they that suffer godly, or those that live godly, are going to suffer persecution, and they're going to have some suffering. But here's the good part. You and I, we may end up suffering. We may end up with some difficulties in life. But God said, I'll be there to comfort you while it goes on. You will face some financial reversals as a Christian, but God has a way of comforting us. We may face some sickness here and there, but God has a way of comforting us. We will face relationship struggles, but He will comfort us. You may face betrayal in your life, but God will comfort you. We are going to face some persecution from maybe family members because you live a certain way for God, but God can comfort you. You may suffer some persecution from so-called friends, but God can comfort you. You may suffer some persecution from the so-called religious world, but God can comfort you. This world persecutes Christianity, but God can comfort you. You will face some hardship, but God can comfort you. comfort is available to born-again Christians. Now, those of you that are not saved, I would highly recommend something to you. You ought to get saved right away and then get in on the God of all comfort. We as Christians have a comfort. You will notice something. Christians can go through the very same thing that a non-Christian goes through. Christians hold it together, and the non-Christian falls apart. Why? We are children of the God of all comfort. I wish I could come to you with this health and wealth type of religion that says, oh, just get into church and all your problems will go away. I'm sorry. All the way through the Bible, the best Christians in the Bible had some problems and some difficulties, and they faced some suffering. But wait a minute. The difference between you and me and the world is we all go through problems, but I don't go through them alone. When I start to go through a problem, Brother Elswick, you come up here. When I start to go through a problem, let me tell you what God does. Here, Brother Elswick is going through a problem and God says, well, I'm here. I'm going to pull you up close. I'll be there with you. I'll be there for you. That's the way God is. Thank you, Brother Elswick. There's a difference in me and the world because when I go through my problems, my God says, I want to paraclete. I want to comfort you. I'm going to pull you in. I'm going to help you through it, and I will comfort you. Does that mean make all your problems go away? No. It may mean that He will just strengthen you through the problem. God is not going to let you or me avoid every storm in life. Sometimes the storms make us stronger. But what He'll do, He'll say, when your ship is going through a storm, don't you worry. I'll be in a ship with you. I'll be there for you and with you. Let me show you some things about comfort in the Bible. First of all, the Scriptures comfort us. The Bible says in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, folks, those of you that are going through tough times, can I recommend to you, you dive into your Bible reading like never before. The Bible contains thousands of promises to us about God's watch care and comfort. What will the Bible do? God will use the Bible and pull you up close to Him. The Bible can give you a hug of confidence if you let it. God's book tells us that God has unlimited resources to comfort us with. Listen, I mean, if I had a need, I might be able to go to you. You might be able to meet part of my need. I might be able to meet part of your need. But let me tell you something. I've got a God that has all resources. No one human being can meet all your needs, but one God can meet all your needs. You see, God's book tells us that He has all power to comfort us. He has unlimited resources to comfort us. God's book tells us that God knows, He knows everything, so He has all knowledge to comfort us. There's a prayer that I often pray when I'm counseling people in my office. I often pray and I will say, dear God, help me as pastor to help this dear member of my church. Help me to help them through this. Help me to strengthen them. God, help me to bear their burden. And then I often say, and many of you have heard me say it, I'll say, dear God, the heartache that they have that I know nothing about, help them with that one too. You see, folks, every single person here has a heartache that nobody knows about. Maybe a heartache that you have not shared with your husband, or you have not shared with your wife, or you have not shared it with your pastor, but you've got a burden. You've got something inside you that it hurts, and it hurts very deeply. Here's the good thing about the Scriptures. The Scriptures are one of God's ways of comforting us, and when you didn't tell me, and I didn't tell you, and you didn't tell your wife, and your wife didn't tell you, when you go to the Scripture, God already knows your burden, and God can get you some Scripture to help you through the things that you can't even share with anybody else. The Scripture brings comfort. I was meeting with one of our dear men, Brother Jerry Lowther. Brother Lowther and I had an appointment yesterday, and he's got MS, multiple sclerosis. Brother Lowther, it cripples up his body. His dear daughters and wife and son are here today, and they would tell you there are mornings that he can't even, his body ties into a knot, and his body won't even unwind until 10, 11 o'clock in the day because the disease will cripple him up. Sometimes he'll be fine. Other times it just tightens him up into a knot. Long time ago, I met with Brother Lowther, and I said, Brother Lowther, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to need it. You're going to need to go to the Psalms, and when you can't get out of that knot, you get enough strength and open your Bible and look in the Psalms, because in it you will find comfort. Said the Psalms are it's like an antibiotic to a wounded soul. He and I were meeting yesterday, and he said to me, he said, Preacher, he said, I never forgot what you said. And he said, in these days when I've been so sick and so incapable of getting my body to do what I wanted to do, I found comfort in the Psalms. What is it? God wants to pull you alongside. God wants to help you. When you need comfort, run to the Bible. It's full of comfort. Don't use the Bible as a last resort. Try using it as a first resort. When I was in high school, I had a friend, and he had very, very severe asthma. And when an attack would come to him, he would run to his inhaler. How many of you know what an inhaler is like? Will you raise your hand? I mean, he would run to that thing, and when he'd get to it, he'd take a great big deep breath, and he'd go, and I'd watch him begin to relax. And I would watch the inhaler calm him. Let me say to everybody under the sound of my voice, we have a sickness, and that sickness is sin, and that sickness is this old sin-cursed world. And every once in a while, you're going to feel the panic of life, and you're going to feel the pressure of life. You say, what do I do? Just like my friend ran to his inhaler, you run to the Word of God, take a great big old deep breath of it, and suck it in, and let it relax you. Let the promises of God bring comfort to your soul. You see, the Scriptures bring comfort. They'll pull you alongside. They'll give you a hug from God. Secondly, the love of Jesus brings comfort. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, and any vows and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. God is saying to us here, notice the words there. It says comfort of love. Love is a comforter. The Scripture is a comforter, but love is a comforter. Love is a comforter that calms the sin-sick soul. Love is a language that all nations understand. Brother Heidenreich is here today, and I'm sure he could come up here and he could testify. He's our missions director. He could tell you, you don't even have to speak the language. If you have love, you can touch the hearts of people that don't even communicate in your language, because love never faileth. Love is a comforter. Sometimes the greatest comfort you can offer someone are these three words. I love you. You know, I want so desperately to bear the burdens and to help the people of my church. I want so desperately to meet their needs scripturally and meet their needs. There have been many of you have said in my office, I didn't know the answer. I'm a human being. I'm a man. I did not know how to take your pain away. I didn't know what to say. We have gone to the funeral home or to the land of the dead. We've gone there 60 plus times since I became pastor, where someone that we love passed away. And there are sometimes you just don't know all the words to say. There are three words that I run to immediately when I'm lost for words, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to take your pain away. There's something I can do. I can say to Brother Tinsman, Smokey, I know it's lonely. I know you have your breakfast alone. But my dear friend, I love you. I love you. I know you do. Brother Chapman, I know it's tough. I know she's in heaven, but I know it's tough. I want you to know, I love you. There's something about those three words. You don't know what else to say. You don't know what else to do. You say, I went to a funeral the other day, brother. I didn't know what to do. Comfort. You say, well, how do you comfort? You can't figure out anything else in the world to do. Just say it. I love you. I love you. Oh, those words are precious. Oh, are those words powerful. They can say a million words for you. But you see here, the Bible talks about the comfort of love. It talks about the comfort of love. The love of God makes a difference. The Bible teaches us, I love the song, our children sing it. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Hey, when we want a comfort, we have love to comfort us. I've got good news for you today. I don't care how bad you are in sin. I don't care how bad you have messed up your life. I don't care. And by the way, whatever the pain you face in life, I have news for everybody under the sound of my voice. God loves you. If you say, Brother Owens, I don't know of anybody that really loves me. Oh, you're wrong, my friend. God loves you. God loves you. There is a comfort inside that. Oh, just the comfort of knowing that God loves us. God is love and He loves us. And we're to have that same kind of love for others. I was thinking of a young lady in our youth department, Morgan Graham. Morgan has a very severe form of fibromyalgia. You'll see her walking around with a cane and working at moving her body. And oh my, I've heard so often of the disease hitting people much older than she. But here's a girl, 16, 17 years of age, facing, and this week she's going to leave and she's going to go to the children's hospital and she's going to face her therapy. Morgan, let me tell you something. Where's Morgan at? Oh, she's down front. I'll tell you something, Morgan. Mrs. Owens and I, we love you. And you probably, it's going to be tough. They're going to work you hard in therapy. But you be reminded of something. Your preacher loves you. Every time I see you with that cane, I say, Lord, please help her. Strengthen her. And Morgan, I don't know what else to say right now. I wish you weren't sick. I wish you weren't facing it. But boy, I'll tell you what. She has faced it with dignity. She has not faced it and become bitter. She's gotten closer to God. The other day, she and I were talking a little bit, and she was saying, memorizing Scripture. I'm memorizing Scripture, preacher. She's getting closer and closer to the Lord, and thank God that when we don't know what else to say, we love you, Morgan. This church loves you. You're going to do fine. You know what we need? When new members come to our church, can I tell you one of the things that will help the most? Oh, they missed, maybe their old church is soured and left the old time ways and they needed a new church and they need, maybe God moved them here and you, I've got to tell you something, they're lonely. They suffer some homesickness. So, well, what do I do? What do I do when a new member comes and somebody joins our church? Love them. Love them. See, I don't know them well, then ask God to love them through you. But to those of you that are new members of this church and you don't know all of us well, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church loves you. This church staff loves you. This pastor loves you. You stick around long enough, we'll prove it to you. I'll guarantee it. We will prove to you the love of Christ is in this place. But the words, I love you, make a difference. Those that are not well, most people don't know. Brother Tennis fell. And he's pretty beat up right now. He's not going to admit that. Probably not going to be happy that I tell you. But he's not been well. I'll tell you something, Brother Tennis. Your preacher loves you. I love you very much. And I know you've not been well, and I know you've been in a lot of pain. Brother Greenlee, nobody loves you. Brother Greenlee's a very strong, capable man. But he's been through a lot of pain lately. He had to have his whole hand or whole hand rebuilt and pins and... Those of you that are in pain and those of you that are going through tough times, let me say this church loves you. We want to love you. To those of you that are brokenhearted, we love you. And to those of you that are yet grieving and you're facing the difficulties of life and facing life alone, we love you. I think sometimes the word love is just a comforter. And that's what the Bible says here. Thirdly, there's something else that comforts us. God wants to pull us up close. He wants to snuggle us, if you will. The anticipation of the rapture brings comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, it talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then it says at the end, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What were the words? They were words instructing and teaching about Jesus Christ coming again. We call it our blessed hope. I am comforted. Now, I don't know about all of you. I have been through death with many. That's a part of what I do. I've been there when many a person has taken their last breath. If you have been around anyone, even one, when they take their last breath, it's a very difficult thing. I have been through the last breath with many. And I'll be honest, I don't want to die. I know all you tough he-men, you say, death doesn't scare me. Well, you sucker, I don't want to die. I don't want God hearing me talking like that. Oh, I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to die. You know what I want? I want Jesus to come again and get me out of this without dying. I mean, anybody want to throw their hat in the ring here? Jesus, even so, come quickly. You say, why, Brother Owens, because the world's a mess? No, Brother Owens is a mess. I'm afraid to die. I'm not afraid of where I'm going. I'm just afraid of the process I got to go through to get there. Say, you know, are you ready to die? Evidently not. They say when it's time to die, God gives you grace. I ain't got no grace about it. If it works out, okay, I ain't ever getting the grace. I'm just going to force this thing to come. But you know something? When Jesus comes again, those that are alive will not suffer that physical death. It's our blessed hope. I'm comforted at the thought that Jesus is coming again. I'm comforted that I will see some loved ones again. I was thinking about our church picnic, and I mentioned the other day I passed a picture around the teachers and officers meeting last Wednesday night. It was a picture of Brother Raymond Montgomery. Had a big old red, white, and blue apron on. And when I say big, I mean big. If you knew Brother Ray, a big man, used to love cooking for the church picnic. When I was talking about the subject of heaven, I passed a picture of Brother Montgomery around and said, you know, Brother Montgomery will miss that picnic because he's passed away and he's in heaven now. But I think if they have church picnics up in heaven, Brother Ray Montgomery's got his red, white, and blue star and striped apron on. He's up there cooking hamburgers. You say, they don't have hamburgers there. Well, they better have. I like hamburgers. I think so. I mean, McDonald's. They have golden arches. They serve hamburgers there. There's going to be golden arches surely in heaven. But I'll tell you this. I look forward to seeing some that have passed on, and so do you. There ought to be some comfort that comes to you in the fact that Jesus is coming again and sorrow will end and we'll be in heaven. The rapture means Christians we're going to get to heaven. And you know, and I'll be so glad when we get to heaven and Christians behave right toward one another. You young Christians, let me explain. When you get saved, the Spirit of God moves within you, and he's sealed there. When Jesus comes again, Jesus made a promise. He was on this earth, and he left, and he said, one of these days, I'll come back. When I come back, I'll get you, and I'll take you to heaven. There's coming a day. We don't know exactly the day or the hour, but there's coming a day, and I think it is a day very, very soon. He's going to come back and take the Christians off this earth. And that day's coming. So if you're a young Christian and you're born again, you're going to go. Now, if you're not saved, you won't go when he comes. I recommend that you get saved, but I am comforted. You say, Brother Owens, how are you comforted? Well, I am comforted by the Scripture. I am comforted by the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God's people. I'm comforted with the thought of the rapture. I'll tell you this. I envy this congregation in one way. I envy you in the fact that I know this. I know that pastors bring comfort. Pastors bring comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. That word we there, it's actually talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had founded and pastored the church in Thessalonica, the church of the Thessalonians. And he is talking about, he said to them, he said, it was my privilege to comfort those of you that were a member of my church. Now, the reason that I admire you is you have a pastor. And I like that. I remember the years when I had a pastor. I remember the years when I could go and get my pastor's line and say, preacher, I got a burden. Can you help me with it? I don't have that privilege anymore. The older men even that I could turn to as pastors, they've all passed away. We know Brother Carl Hatch just a few weeks ago passed away, and Brother Boyd and Brother Hiles and on, the men that I looked to that I would have turned to. But I'll tell you this, Brother Phillips, there are days that I wish I could go knock on somebody's door and say, hey, preacher, I just need a little help right now. But let me tell y'all, I envy you. You don't have the greatest pastor in the world, but I'll promise you, you have a pastor that loves you. And you come knock on my door. And I'll open it. I'll see what I can do to help you. And if I can't solve the problem, I'll tell you I love you. And I'll stick with you. We'll do what we can. But here the Bible talks about comfort coming from a pastor. Hey, Paul had started this church and he wanted to comfort them. Everybody needs a pastor. Sheep with no shepherd are confused and they're comfortless. When you come, let me advise you, when you come to the church here, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, could I recommend that you not only transfer your body, but your heart? Transfer your heart. There are some of you, you've not transferred your heart, and in a way, you're almost pastorless. I'm not trying to take your old pastor away from you. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just going to tell you, if you're coming to this church and you've not accepted the pastor as your pastor, you're going to do without. There's some things that you're going to suffer. You're going to hurt you. You have the privilege of having a pastor, and I'm not trying to exalt Jeff Owens, but I do want to exalt my office. I want to magnify my office. My office is to help the sheep and to be a shepherd to the sheep. And if somebody comes to the church, but then they don't allow the pastor to pastor them, they are not getting the comfort that they need. So there are people that sit in this auditorium, and because you've transferred your body but not your heart, there are times when I try to comfort you, you're not receiving it. You don't feel as comforted as what you could if you'd move your heart along with your membership. I don't say that for me. I say that for your sake. One of the responsibilities of the pastor is to pasture the sheep and to comfort them. In sermons, we try to have a comforting atmosphere and counseling. But I miss having a pastor. I wish Dr. Jack Hiles was my pastor for almost 18 years. I would give anything to knock on his door and have 5 minutes with him. I got about 2 questions and then a whole bunch of crying I'd like to do for the other 4.5 minutes. But you have a pastor. Pastors were given to help comfort. That's what I'm trying to do today. I have the scripture to comfort me. I have the love of Christ to comfort me. I have the anticipation of the rapture to comfort me. I have a pastor to help comfort me. Oh, and thank God we have the Holy Spirit of God to comfort us. The Bible says in John 4:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven, and he turns to the people and says, don't you worry. I may be going to heaven, but I'm going to send you another comforter. You say, who is that comforter? It was the Holy Spirit of God. Because in John 15:26 it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. This Comforter, when you get saved, is sealed inside you. I told you earlier about a friend of mine that had asthma, and he could run to his inhaler and take a great big deep breath, and it would calm his body and comfort his body in a moment of panic, if you will. I have another friend. He is severely diabetic. And what was happening is they tried to correct it with his health and that or with his diet, and that didn't work. And then he would give himself shots, and they said, but we do have this new thing. We can implant a little pump in your body. And when the insulin level drops so low, it will automatically pump into you what you need to settle your body. I thought that was really neat. The new technology of our day, they think, wow, look what we discovered. I've got news for you. God discovered it a long time ago, the thing of putting something inside you that would calm your body and calm your spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. I have living within me this Holy Spirit that can pump calm right into my system. When I can't get, if I can't get to the preacher, what am I going to do? You have God living in the person of the Holy Spirit right inside you. I have to admit there are times when I don't know what to do and I just turn to the Spirit of God and I say, Spirit of God, calm me. Spirit of God, help me. I right this very minute, I need you to calm me so I don't make a mistake, so I do the right things. Living inside you is the Holy Spirit of God that can automatically be released in His comforting power. He lives within you. He brings healing and comfort. He brings peace in the midst of the storm. He teams up with the Word of God, and together they comfort us. He comforts us when and those problems that nobody else knows exist. Ask Him to comfort you. See, sometimes, folks, you and I hesitate to ask for comfort. We don't like to ask for comfort, and I don't know why. I don't know if you and I, as a part of the human race, we are so intimidated by one another. I know that we talk about being strong, and we talk about a certain amount of independence, but most people don't ask for comfort. I don't know that I have ever had anybody ask me for comfort. I'll have them come up near, hoping I'll pull them in. I know when they're fishing. You know, when somebody's fishing for comfort, but let me tell you something. Because the human race tends to be a little overly cautious about comforting or seeking comfort, thank God inside us is someone that we can call upon 24/7, and the human race doesn't even have to know we need comfort at the moment. Sometimes we're hurt and we don't let anybody know we're hurt, and sometimes we're struggling and we don't let anybody know we're struggling. You say, what am I going to do? Well, we don't launch out and ask the human race for comfort, but inside you is the great comforter, and that insulin of the Holy Spirit can become the balm of Gilead to your soul, and it can calm and comfort you. Just call upon Him and let Him do it. You see, we have the Holy Spirit to help comfort us. Not only that, we have the comfort of other Christians. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Here it's talking about you and I as Christians comforting one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6 says, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforteth us by the coming of Titus. Here's a place in the Bible where it said just the arrival of Titus comforted a group of people. This is why people need to be a member of the New Testament church, because we're a family and the family comforts each other. You see, let me ask you a question. Does your presence comfort people? Does your presence comfort people? We should comfort one another as members of this church. We should pray for one another's comfort. We should, hey, do you know that even strong people need comfort? Even the strong need comfort. When somebody seeks comfort, folks, let's give it to them. Now, I don't think there ought to be a time when you and I, as mature Christians, ever withhold comfort from somebody that needs it. Comfort people. Let's help one another. Comforting is an act of love. Comforting is a proof of Holy Spirit fullness. Who have you comforted lately? So I didn't know what to say. Maybe the words, I love you. Maybe just your presence. Comforting. I think we ought to comfort the returning prodigal. There are people that want to come back to God. And they're a little intimidated by coming back. You know what you and I ought to do? We ought to put them at ease and comfort them and let them know the church is open. We want them to come back to God. Let me tell you something. To every one of you upperclassmen, those of you that are sophomores and juniors and seniors, could I ask you to do me a favor? You've got a new group of young people that have stepped into the youth department. They used to be sixth graders. They're now seventh graders. You see, they were at the top of the grade school. They were King Tut in the grade school. Sixth graders, they have arrived in grade school. They go from the top of the bottom to the bottom of the top when they step into seventh grade, and then suddenly they are surrounded by young people that are 17, 18 years of age. Could I recommend something to every sophomore, every junior, every senior? Those seventh graders that are young and they've just come into the youth department, why don't you make them feel accepted? Why don't you love them? Why don't you make them feel like they're wanted there? You ought not be picking on them. Every once in a while, we get somebody that's getting this bully attitude, and I'm against it. We're going to root it out of the youth department and root it out of Martinsburg Christian Academy. We're not going to put up with it. You ought to be comforting those young people that are just coming into the youth department. They shouldn't be intimidated. They shouldn't be, we're not for any type of hazing around here. Not at all. But what do? Those that are the mature Christians help to comfort those that are younger. You see, God wants us as Christians to comfort one another. Not only that, God's kindness brings comfort to us. The Bible says, "Let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort." Folks, I wish I had time to develop this thought. I do not, but I'll tell you something. You better just thank God that God is a kind and merciful God. That ought to comfort you. Do you know, folks, those of us, especially those of us that are born again, we never get what we deserve. Because we deserve hell. And there is the merciful kindness of God. The Bible even goes on to tell us in Isaiah 66:13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Here the Bible is saying God comforts his children like a mother comforts her child. You know, a mother tries very hard to get to a baby if a baby is messed on itself so a baby does not have to lie there in its own dung. Why? A mother wants that baby to be comforted. And let me say as appropriately as I know how, you better thank God that your God is a forgiving God, because you and I could lay there in our own spiritual dung if it were not for the forgiveness of Almighty God. I think that Mrs. Owens and I were watching the grandchildren yesterday. Actually, Mrs. Owens was, and I was there. But she'll take our grandbaby, the newest one, his name is Caleb, and she'll just start kissing on him. And she'll kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss all over his face and all over his neck and say, "Grandma's going to kiss you up. I'm going to kiss you up. I'm going to kiss you up." Little Alexandra, our granddaughter, will run up to her and say, "Grandma, kiss me up. Kiss me up." Can I tell you something? Your God loves you like a mother loves its child. And your God wants to kiss you up. He wants to pull you over near. Did you know there's nothing at all wrong at being intimate with your God? There's nothing wrong with wanting a hug from your God. There's nothing wrong with saying to your God, "God, kiss me up. Pull me up close." That's what He wants to do. God is a kind God. How many times has God shown His mercy where you thought He would never use you again? But merciful and kind was your God, and He used you again. Again, I wish I had time, and I'm almost finished. But the Bible says in Psalm 23, verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." God's rod and God's staff. You see, the rod and the staff was used by the shepherd. It was used as a weapon of protection, if you will. The rod or the staff would be used to chase away the snakes from the sheep. God has watched out for you, and His rod and His staff have chased the devil away from your children and away from your marriage and away from your church. His rod and His staff would keep the wolves away. That rod and staff may help the weak Christian. Let me tell you something, folks. You're going to have to face something. Not everybody in this church is going to be as strong as we want them to be. There are some people, and I don't know how to say it other than this, there are sheep that are just damaged. And to those of you who are damaged sheep, you're welcome in this church. Oh, and there'll be times when they'll behave in a way and you'll say, "Why are they doing that again?" They may be trying really, really hard, and you just don't see it, and you don't know it, and you don't know what they've been through. I want you to know your preacher loves you, and we'll keep working with you. We're going to make you as strong as we can. You see, all of our goal is to do the best that we can. And listen, the best I can may not be the best that you can. And the best that you can may not be the best that somebody else can do. But we want every Christian in this church to be the very best Christian that they can. And for those that have not arrived yet, and those that stumble, and those that are a little weak, and the sheep that seemingly have broken legs, and they hobble along, you're welcome here, and we're going to try to help you. You can be sure this shepherd that holds the rod of the Word of God, we're not out to hurt you. We're not out to destroy you. And all of us need to realize that. You see, that rod and that staff was there. It was there as protection from the wolves and there as protection from the snakes. It gave guidance to the sheep. You know, God protects us. And you know, we ought to all stop and realize how God protects us. Do you realize it is a very, very rare thing that We have people around here that are in serious accidents. This is a big congregation of people. It happens every once in a while, but my oh my. God has really spared us. We've had people that should have been killed in car accidents. They came out of it with virtually a scratch or two. And I've seen how some of you women drive. It is a miracle of God. The only worst drivers are the men, not okay. God uses that rod and that staff to protect us from the snakes of life and the wolves of life, and somehow it's used as guidance. And you and I can be very, very thankful that we have the comfort of God and His rod and His staff. They comfort us. He gives us guidance. He gives us guidance as we drive, and guidance and protection at work, and protection for our children while they play. That direction and protection for success to keep us away from evil. I can tell you something. I want to testify. I thank God as a preacher that I know that God has watched over me and given me special protection. I could fly in a year up to 100,000 miles on airplanes and go all around the world, and I travel and I work day after day after day after day. I just thank God for His watch care and His protection over me. He has protected me from the devil. He has protected me from my enemies. He comforts me. I'll just let Him fight my fights. He does it cleaner, more appropriately. But I thank God that He comforts me. I'm finished. But let me remind all of us today, He brings us comfort. How? Through the Scripture. He brings us comfort. How? Through the love of God. He brings us comfort. How? Through the anticipation of the rapture. He brings us comfort through having a pastor. He brings us comfort through the Holy Spirit that is within us. He brings us comfort by the other church members and the Christians with whom we associate. He brings us comfort through His kindness and His mercy, and His rod and staff provide for us comfort. If you're here today and you're not born again, I want to recommend that you get saved. If you'll get saved, the God of all comfort will move inside you, and like that insulin pump, He'll begin to help sort through the problems of your life and things that you never thought that you'd get some peace and some calm about. God has a way of providing that peace and that calm. You say, if I get saved, are all my problems going to go away? No, but when they come, God will pull you over close, and He'll snuggle up close to you and meet your needs. The God of all comfort. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.